Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Sunday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys being here. Hope your weekend is going amazing. Today, we're going to be talking about the NFL Draft. But not the upcoming 2024 NFL Draft. We're going to be talking about the 2020 NFL Draft. And as soon as the 2024 NFL Draft is over, what are we going to see everywhere? Draft grades. Everyone's got draft grades. And then everyone gets upset and says, oh, you can't really give grades right after the draft. We have to see how these players turn out. You got to wait 3 or 4 years until you're able to actually evaluate them. But few people actually go back and evaluate those drafts 3 or 4 years later. So of course, that's why I'm here. I've been doing this now for 5 years, either over at Packer Report or Cheesehead TV. I think I may have done it with originally. I can't remember what the timeline was there. And more recently in the past couple seasons here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast as well. But today we're going to be digging deep into the 2020 NFL Draft. And I'm a firm believer that the 4 year period is the perfect time frame. And right at this time is the perfect time frame to evaluate that draft from 4 years ago. And the reason I think it's a perfect time frame is every NFL draft pick gets that 4 year contract now. Now, your first ones have the first round picks have the ability to get that 5th year option. But by this time, you know who is still on the roster, who has not made it to this point, who has either maybe picked up a 5th year option or signed an extension, and which players are ultimately still on the team from that specific draft. So today, we're going to dig deep into the 2020 NFL draft, a massively consequential draft for the Green Bay Packers, and could be significantly more so if Jordan Love continues his progression and trajectory moving forward. Now, the interesting thing is I was looking at this. The Green Bay Packers right now, prior to the 2021 draft, so the 21, 22, and 23 still have plenty of players from those drafts. The 2020 draft, and before that, the Packers only have 6 remaining draft picks on their roster from before 2021. Kenny Clark in 2016, nobody from 2017, Jaire Alexander in 2018, Rashawn Gary and Elton Jenkins in 2019, and then 2 players from the 2020 draft, one I spoiled already, which you knew already, which we'll go over today. So let's go over the 2020 NFL draft and grade how Green Bay did in this particular draft. An important thing to remember here is this was the COVID draft. This is the draft that was at home and things got a little bit disrupted and things were a little bit weird and chaotic during that time. The Packers started the draft with pick 30 overall, and the Packers were very rumored to be interested in potential wide receivers in that draft. You started off the draft and wide receivers didn't go early. No wide receivers in the first 11 picks of that draft. And number 12 overall, Henry Ruggs, that one did not turn out too well. He goes to the Raiders. Number 15 overall, Jerry Jeudy, he recently got traded away. That didn't exactly end the way that the Broncos wanted it to go. Number 17, CeeDee Lamb for Dallas. That's gone extremely well for them. CeeDee Lamb's a tremendous wide receiver. Number 21, Jalen Reagor to the Philadelphia Eagles. That didn't exactly go according to plan. And then 22, Justin Jefferson to the Minnesota Vikings. All these wide receivers start to go off the board. There's one premium wide receiver, at least many thought to be a first rounder at the time, still on the board. And that's Brandon Ayuk, as Green Bay is still sitting at pick 30 and watching all these wide receivers go off the board. Green Bay starts looking potentially to trade up, as do some other teams. What ends up happening is the 49ers trade up to pick 25. They use picks 31, 117, and 176 to get to pick 25 and take Brandon Ayuk at pick 25. Green Bay subsequently moves up to pick 26. Before we get to that, let's talk about pick 25. Because the 49ers, remember, use pick 31, 117, and 176. The interesting aspect here is Green Bay has pick 30. Meaning, if they wanted to get to pick 25, theoretically, that should be possible. The team that's willing to move down is more than likely willing to move with Green Bay for pick 30 rather than getting pick 31. Added on top of that, is the fact that the Packers have pick 175, which is one pick ahead of pick 176 that the 49ers traded away. However, the big discrepancy here is that the 49ers had pick 117, the Packers had 136 in that round. So moving up one pick in the first round, one pick later from 176 to 175, probably not enough to make up that 19-pick difference that San Francisco had on that middle round pick, that I think fourth round pick that they gave up. So Green Bay was at a little bit of a disadvantage there. They probably would have had to include additional draft capital to get that deal done. Maybe those conversations never took place. Maybe San Francisco just outbid Green Bay. Maybe Green Bay never called the 25. We don't know. We're never going to for sure know the story. But San Francisco ultimately moves ahead of Green Bay from 31. Green Bay was at 30. They go to 25, take that last premium wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk, and that leaves Green Bay at pick 30, save for the fact that they go up and they move to pick 26. They only use pick 136, which was that fourth rounder that they had, and they go and they select, of course, the one and only Jordan Love. Now, there have been, first of all, there's a stream of consciousness out there that the Packers passed on Justin Jefferson. I see this all the time on Twitter and like on the internet, that the Packers could have had Justin Jefferson and they passed on him. That is very clearly not the case. Justin Jefferson went at 22. The Packers were at 30. The 49ers traded to 25. Green Bay traded to 26. So anything involving Justin Jefferson or the fact that they passed on him. Now, could they have given up some crazy trade offer to get ahead of Minnesota at 22? Sure. But you have to remember, there were some questions about Justin Jefferson and if he was going to be a full, complete wide receiver able to play on the outside. They look ridiculous in hindsight. And I think pretty much everyone on Packers Twitter seemed to love Justin Jefferson going into the draft. But nobody expected him. If everyone expected him to be what he is now, he would have went in the top maybe like three of the draft, and certainly ahead of any of those other wide receivers. So it's not like everyone knew he was just going to be this insane, incredible player. And Green Bay clearly didn't want to move way up in the draft from pick 30. And that just is the cost of doing business sometimes. So they go from pick 30 to pick 26. Never really were in the Justin Jefferson sweepstakes with Minnesota taking him at 22. Now, the other one that is of very large lore is, was Green Bay moving up to 26 to get Brandon Ayuk? That has been one that has been bandied about for years, that they were moving up to 26 to get Brandon Ayuk, and then the 49ers swooped in, moved to pick 25, and took Ayuk one pick ahead of where Green Bay was expecting to. Now, there's never been anything that I've seen confirmed one way or the other. I've dug on the internet, I've dug everywhere, that has said that Green Bay had the deal in place for pick 26 prior to pick 25 being made. You usually do not make that final trade to move up until that pick 25 is made to ensure that the player that you want is still there. I would be pretty shocked at Brian Gutekunst, who's a pretty smart draft trader and has been through this for 20 some years in draft war rooms, if he moved up to pick 26, knowing that there was only one wide receiver left on the board without knowing first who was going at pick 25. That does not sound like Brian Gutekunst in any way, shape, or form. So I would be shocked if that is how Brian Gutekunst did business. There was one report from David Lombardi. He said, quote, based on, this was after the draft, by the way, based on what I'm gathering through several chats, sounds like the 49ers were concerned about the Packers drafting Brandon Ayuk at number 26. Lynch and Shanahan spoke of intel that spurred San Francisco to trade up to 25. That might have been it. Green Bay picked Jordan Love at 26. Ayuk gone then by then, of course. Now, I'll say it once more. I don't think Goody would have done business that way. I do think that there's a chance that San Francisco thought that Green Bay, and maybe some other teams as well, were interested in Ayuk and maybe interested in trading up for Ayuk. So they jump up as far as they can to pick 25 and go and get him before Green Bay can make a move up to the draft and get Brandon Ayuk. I do think there is something there. Maybe it was that Green Bay was calling to pick 25, offering that group of picks that they offered to pick 26 to get to 25 to get Ayuk. And then that deal that maybe the 49ers somehow gained wind of that. Maybe the team that was trading with Green Bay said, hey, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. If you want Ayuk, San Francisco, you better make us a better deal because Green Bay is trying to come up to get him. And maybe that's where San Francisco ups the offer. Green Bay says we're good. They don't do it. And then they make that trade one pick later to go get Jordan Love. This will live in the lore forever. And obviously, this is really intriguing now for a variety of different ways of, one, Brandon Ayuk, extremely talented, really good wide receiver, who is just even coming into his own even more. There's been some offseason rumblings that maybe San Fran's going to trade him. We will see. But he's a tremendous wide receiver. And now on top of that, you have Jordan Love, who was phenomenal the second half of the season and now is the Packers franchise quarterback moving forward. This will go down as one of the great what-ifs in the history of football, not only because it affects the extreme future of Green Bay with the entire, you know, Jordan Love situation and him being the guy in Green Bay, but also because what happens if you add Brandon Ayuk in 2020, 21, 22, and with those Aaron Rodgers years, does that affect those sort of seasons? So this is just like one of the great NFL mysteries. I don't know that we're ever going to be able to pull back the onion or peel back the onion completely and fully understand of exactly what happened on that draft day. Maybe somebody gets to the bottom of it eventually once Goody retires and maybe he does a tell all or something. Who knows? But that will go down as one of the great, again, interesting situations and scenarios that really not only altered the shape of the Packers, but the 49ers, the NFL, the NFC. It's crazy. So this was a very, very interesting series of events, but lo and behold, regardless of how we want to look at it, Brandon Ayuk gets taken at 25 after the 49ers jump from 31 to 25. And then one pick later, Green Bay moves from 30 to 26, giving up again, pick 136 in the process to select Jordan Love, who of course is now the Packers franchise quarterback. So let's dig into that a little bit more. Was Jordan Love the right pick? Let's look at the next five picks that were taken at number 20, after pick 26, where Green Bay took Jordan Love. The next five picks, Jordan Brooks, no longer with the team that he was drafted by. Patrick Queen, no longer by the team he was drafted by. Isaiah Wilson fell out of the league almost immediately. Noah Igbinohin was a complete bust for Miami. And Jeff Gladney, obviously, you know, tragic situation there, but he was released by Minnesota even before that entire situation happened. And just to take a quick pause here, this is why that initial conversation is so ridiculous. Meaning when Jordan Love was taken, it's like, how could Green Bay do this? How could they possibly take a quarterback when they have Aaron Rodgers? They're ruining everyone's chances. This is the stupidest move. If Green Bay would have taken Jordan Brooks or Patrick Queen, they could have taken, let's take Jeff Gladney, for example. They could have taken Jeff Gladney and they would have been like, oh, they took a corner, like he's a really good player. And everyone would have been excited about it. Nobody would have said they're ruining Aaron Rodgers' prime or like his end of this year career where he has the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And Gladney would have went on to be a massive bust. Same with Isaiah Wilson, who I saw people mocking to Green Bay the day of the draft that the Packers would take Isaiah Wilson at offensive tackle. A monumental bust as at that pick. And there were ones that were after that as well that went on to nothing in their career. And everyone that is on that list right now, Jordan Brooks, Patrick Queen, Isaiah Wilson, Noah Igbinohin, and Jeff Gladney, none of them are on the rosters that picked them right now. Green Bay, meanwhile, blew the pick by taking a quarterback at pick 26. Guess who not only is still on that team, but is now the franchise quarterback of that team, the Jordan Love pick for the Green Bay Packers. So those were the next five picks. The next five quarterbacks that were taken in the draft were Jalen Hurts at pick 53, Jacob Eason at 122, James Morgan, Wisconsin native, at 125, Jake Fromm at 167, and Jake Luton at 189. Nobody you would rather have in the next five picks? We can have the Jalen Hurts discussion. I guess what I'll say in the Jalen Hurts discussion is if you are of the belief that Jalen Hurts has been the better quarterback and is the better quarterback, okay. He's had, some really good seasons. I thought he fell off a little bit last year, but he's been a really good quarterback. And if you like him a little bit more than Jordan, you have an argument to make. Jordan's had one half of a season that he's played well. Hurts has played longer. He's overall played better through the course of his career. I think Jordan has shown higher upside in just the games that we've seen in the second half of last season. And I think it would be a really interesting poll if you were to poll every GM in the league right now. Would you rather have Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts? My guess is Jordan Love gets more of those votes. It's a really interesting conversation though. And again, let the world is your oyster. If you want Jalen Hurts, I'm not going to argue against you. If you want Jordan Love, I'm not going to argue against you. And I think that's the direction I would go in. If you told me right now I could have Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts, it's a very difficult conversation, but I'll take Jordan Love moving forward. We'll see if that ends up being a really bad take or a really smart take. But as of right now, based on what I saw second half of last season for both, I'll take Jordan Love as the quarterback moving forward. But a conversation to be had there about Jalen Hurts for sure. So the other option that Green Bay could have had is that they could have stayed at pick 30. They didn't have to move up. Maybe they still could have gotten Jordan Love, but maybe they miss on him. Who are the next five picks taken at pick 30 had they stayed there? We had Noah Igbinoghen at 30, Jeff Gladney at 31, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 32, T. Higgins at 33, and Michael Pittman Jr. at 34. The best player taken around pick 136 using that fourth round pick that they traded up to get Jordan Love was Legarius Sneed, who just got that huge contract and trade from Kansas City to Tennessee. He was taken at pick 138. So you could have had, maybe if you want to look at it in a perfect alternate universe, could you have had, you know, maybe T. Higgins and Legarius Sneed instead of Jordan Love using those same picks? Maybe that would have been like really insane benefit of hindsight. But that would have been an interesting trade. If right now, if T. Higgins had signed with Cincinnati and if T. Higgins and Legarius Sneed would end up on the same team somehow, I'll just put it that way, and they would call Green Bay right now and say, hey, we've got Legarius Sneed and T. Higgins. We'll trade you both of them for Jordan Love. Are you interested? Green Bay would hang up the phone faster than you could imagine. But in the Jordan Love, or sorry, in the Aaron Rodgers era, you add T. Higgins and Legarius Sneed to them. Yeah, it would have been pretty fun. Again, that's a huge benefit of hindsight. So just some real quick conversations here. The T. Higgins conversation. We have gone over in great depth Green Bay's type of players that they select in round one. All right. T. Higgins meets almost none of that. Specifically, he is not their type of athlete. And, you know, he's not a premium position player. They don't usually take wide receivers in the first round. So T. Higgins was likely never super high up on their board in that situation. So all the people are saying, oh, they should have just taken T. Higgins. He was probably not their flavor of player at any point in time. Now, maybe a Michael Pittman Jr. Like maybe they could have taken Michael Pittman Jr. I don't know how much that moves the needle. And I don't know anyone that's still having the conversation of should they have done anything besides taking Jordan Love at this point. That's how good he was in the second half of last year. Brian Gutekunst has been proven right. And this was a franchise-altering and NFL-altering move by Green Bay to go and get potentially their third back-to-back-to-back quarterback from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. So the T. Higgins conversation is a ridiculous one. They were never really going to probably draft him anyway. Jalen Hurts conversation is a fun one, but he was never in that first round conversation. And even now, if you have the choice, it's at least a coin flip, probably one way or the other. And again, I don't know that anyone's having that Jordan Love conversation. It feels somewhat silly at this point. The grade is an A to an A+ for Brian Gutekunst for selecting Love at this point, and a huge, huge pick for Goody that has paid off in major ways and should continue to do so moving forward. Baseball season is officially back, and what a heck of a start for those Milwaukee Brewers. But just as we get set to wrap up an epic NCAA tournament, baseball is back, and it's better than ever when pairing it with America's number one fantasy sports app, Prize Picks. I know what some of you are thinking. All of these fantasy sports apps are complicated and hard to understand. That is simply not the case with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is super simple to play. I've literally gone in, found entries that I wanted to select, made my picks, and finished the entire process in under 60 seconds. Also, withdrawals are easy, payouts are easy, and they have an enormous selection of players and stat types to choose from that make the selection process super easy. All right, here's a true story. I did a fantasy baseball draft with my friends this year. Half of my team is already hurt, and I've already used up all of my transactions for the week. It is an absolute nightmare. Normally, I'd be ticked off. But I didn't even bat an eye this year. I didn't care at all because I opened up my Prize Picks app, made all new selections with players that weren't hurt. And if I'm being totally honest, it's a lot more fun this way anyway. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Bobby Witt Jr., Luis Robert, and Julio Rodriguez, three of my absolute favorite baseball players. But enough about me. It's time for you to get in on the fun with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. I will go through these next ones a little bit more quick. Obviously, the Jordan Love one deserves the time, effort, and energy to go into it. Pick 62, running back A.J. Dillon. The next five picks that were taken, linebacker Willie Gay, safety Jeremy Chinn, linebacker Logan Wilson, running back Antonio Gibson, and edge rusher Julian Okwara. Obviously, Logan Wilson stands out as a really good linebacker that would have been there at a huge position of need for Green Bay at that point. That's a pretty big miss for Goody at that point in time. I think Logan Wilson, if I remember correctly, tested great. So that would have been one that would have been a really great pick for Green Bay. The next five running backs that were taken, Antonio Gibson, Keyshawn Vaughn, Lynn Bowden, Zach Moss, and Darrington Evans. Zach Moss would have been probably a similar player over the course of their careers. He did get a better contract than Dylan did get this offseason. Antonio Gibson's been up and down. I don't think there's necessarily a running back there that you're like super regretting that they got Dylan instead of. Like you're like, oh, you know, if Gibson would have went on to be amazing or Zach Moss, any of them, but that's not really the case. But definitely Logan Wilson being on the board at that point, it stings a lot, specifically for a position of need. And no matter what way you look at it, AJ Dillon did not live up to a second round pick at a non-premium position, going to get a power running back at that point. Didn't really seem like great process at the time. There were some trade options on the table there too. Again, we don't know if Green Bay would have had these conversations, but pick 64, two picks after AJ Dillon, was traded down for pick 69 and pick 148. Players around pick 69 were Justin Madubuike, who just got that massive deal for the Ravens. Jonah Jackson, who just got the massive deal, was the Detroit Lion, now with the Los Angeles Rams. So some good players around that pick 69. Pick 148, not much available there. Colton McKivitz, the current right tackle for the San Francisco 49ers, the starting right tackle, would have been there. Again, we're talking about some pretty massive benefit of hindsight. I did love Madubuike at that point in time, but I also love Josh Jones, the offensive tackle, who went on to do basically nothing up until this point either. So, the Dylan pick is not great. Logan Wilson being there, Justin Madubuike being a little bit later, having a trade down potential option and picking up a later round pick could have been good too. Also, we need to probably have a little bit of a Jamal Williams conversation here too. AJ Dillon gets selected in the second round. They let Jamal Williams go. Jamal Williams goes on to have a next, you know, the next 3 years are better for Jamal Williams than what AJ Dillon does. And they, if they just keep Williams on a pretty cheap contract that he kept getting, they end up with a better running back and they have that second round pick to use on another player that's not AJ Dillon. So they probably should have just kept Williams, not spent a second on Dillon and spent that elsewhere. And they would have ended up in a much better spot as well. So I grade this one as a D. At least he is still on the roster. He has had some good seasons, but certainly has not lived up to expectations. If you want to go C minus C, that's fine. I don't have any major issue with that, but maybe I'll change that to a, I might go C minus. I'm gonna change that. I'm gonna put it down on paper. I'm not gonna say a D. I'm gonna say a C minus. Not good process for Green Bay. Better options out there, but at least he's still on the roster for a fifth season and they have gotten some usage out of him. So I'll go C minus for AJ Dillon. Josiah DeGuara, pick 94. The next five picks, McTelvin Agim, Lucas Niang, Jacob Phillips, Malik Harrison, and Matt Peart. The next five tight ends, fullbacks, or H-backs that were taken, Dalton Keene at pick 101, Adam Troutman at pick 105, Harrison Bryant at 115, Big O, Albert Aguabekumnam at pick 118, and Colby Parkinson at 133. Parkinson's probably the best of that group, but it's not like Goody's losing sleep at night because he missed out on Colby Parkinson. You go through those next 20 picks, and it is a murderer's row of draft busts. It just was not a great, there was one player who I posted this on Twitter a few days ago, and now I can't remember who that player was. It was Alex Highsmith from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's the one that that was really good in like the next like 25 picks at that spot. So Green Bay definitely, like, there's a player there that they could have taken, but that was one of like the next 25 picks that amounted to anything. So yeah, DeGuara didn't work out. There wasn't really any great tight ends, fullbacks, or H-backs left on the board. And the next 25 picks was just bust after bust after bust, save for one pick by Pittsburgh. So it's like a D+. It's bad process again, taking an H-back type player at that spot. Probably would have been better to try to take a swing at a more premium position. Didn't work out. But again, there was pretty slim pickings around that point in the draft, and pretty much everyone ended up with a worse player. In fact, you look at like the next 25-ish picks when I looked at it, you can make an argument that like DeGuara is like the fourth or fifth best player of those next 25 picks. And that's saying something because he's not had a great year not a great career in Green Bay. And now, of course, he's headed to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I will grade that as a D+ overall. Pick 175, Kamal Martin, the linebacker. Next five picks, wide receiver KJ Osborne, defensive end Mike Dana, inside linebacker Justin Strenad, edge rusher Bradley Anae, and offensive tackle Hakeem Adeniji. The next five off-ball linebackers that were taken, 178, Justin Strenad, 183, Cam Brown, 196, Sean Bradley, 202, Evan Weaver, and 204, Cash Maluia. No real trade options available there. Like a KJ Osborne would have been fine, but it doesn't move the needle. They get the year of starting out of Kamal Martin, then they release him. He doesn't amount to anything. But the next five picks were bad. The next linebackers were bad. They took a flyer on a linebacker. They gave him an opportunity to start. It didn't work out. They released him. They moved on. It's probably like a D-plus sort of pick. But it's, again, it's not like they're losing sleep over it based on what was on the board at that time. Pick 192, John Runyon Jr. Next five picks, defensive tackle Robert Windsor, defensive tackle Khalil Davis, offensive tackle Justin Heron, inside linebacker Sean Bradley, and defensive tackle John Pennicini. The next five interior offensive linemen taken, Minnesota Vikings Blake Brandel, Jake Hansen for the Packers, Simon Stepaniak for the Packers, Arlington Hambright for the Bears, and then Justin Woodard. This to me is a B+. There were no trade options here as well. You get 3 years of starting out of John Runyon Jr., one really good year. The last 7-8 games of last year were pretty darn good as well. He signs a huge contract with the Giants in the offseason. Sixth round pick, 192 overall, to get any starting caliber play out of that pick. And 4 years on the roster, 3 years of starting experience. That's a pretty good pick overall. Even if he just would have ended up being a depth piece and there would have been better players in front of him, that still would have been a really good pick. So for me, that is a B+ pick for Green Bay. All right, that moves to pick 208, Jake Hansen, center. Next five picks were Simon Stepaniak for the Packers, Prince Taia Vanaho, Isaiah Rogers, Desmond Patton, and outside linebacker Jordan Glasgow. The next five interior offensive linemen were Simon Stepaniak, Arlington Hambright, Dustin Woodard, Tremaine Ankrum, who is a pretty decent player for the Rams, and then Kyle Hinton. No real trades available there. This is a D. They didn't really have much on the other options available here. It's pick 208. He was a backup rotational player for a couple seasons. He's still in the league. Tremaine Ankrum probably would have been a little bit of a better pick here. Again, Goody's not losing sleep over it. It's a D, but no real major like biff here where there's like a all pro that was on the board and they missed on it. It's just they got a rotational guy for a couple seasons out of pick 208. That's all you can basically expect at that point for the most part. Pick 209, Simon Stepaniak. Next five picks, we basically just went through these. Prince Taia Vanaho, Isaiah Rogers, Desmond Patton, Jordan Glasgow, and then wide receiver Freddie Swain was the new one. And same four interior offensive linemen. There were not five more interior offensive linemen taken. So it was just the four that we went over. Tremaine Ankrum being the best available at that point. No trades available. Stepaniak was a complete and utter bust. Never played for Green Bay. Had the injured first season. Was injured coming out of the draft. Never amounted to anything. This is a D-. You could give it an F if you really wanted it to. But again, just not much on the board to really choose from at that point anyway. Pick 236, Vernon Scott, the safety. Next five picks was cornerback Bo Pete Keys, outside linebacker TJ Brunson, corner Dane Jackson, quarterback Tommy Stevens, and outside linebacker Chappelle Russell. He was the last safety taken, so there are no other safeties that were still on the board. Dane Jackson went on to a pretty nice career as a corner, Bills this past season. And that probably would have just been a better pick there. I think the better option here, knowing that this draft was not a really deep draft, pick 240, four picks later after Vernon Scott, was traded for a future sixth round pick. So I think getting that future sixth round pick in 2021 would have been better than taking Vernon Scott at pick 236. He did last on the roster for a couple seasons, played a little bit his rookie season, didn't play at all his second year, and then they released him in year three. It's a D- to a D. He played again for a little bit in that first season, but I think knowing that trade was out there, if they could have found it, getting that future sixth round pick instead of taking Vernon Scott would have been a better way to go. And last but not least, pick 242, Jonathan Garvin. Next five picks were corner Chris Jackson, quarterback Nate Stanley, running back Raymond Callis, running back Malcolm Perry, and cornerback Chris Williamson. No more edge rushers were taken. Garvin's arguably the best of that group of players. He had two or three seasons in Green Bay, made a couple plays, was a rotational defender for a while. I would give this one a C-. Once again, there was another trade here where pick 251, nine picks after Green Bay, went for a future sixth round pick in 2021. I would have loved Green Bay to find a way to get that one as well. Instead of Garvin and Vernon Scott picking up two future sixth round picks would have been much better in my opinion, but Garvin wasn't the worst case scenario given who was left on the board. Like I said, they did get a couple seasons out of him. Nothing more, nothing less, but that would be a C minus overall. So that brings us to our overall grade. How do you want to basically break down a draft that was at best a two-player draft? I guess we could call it like almost like a three-player draft because you've got Jordan Love, you have AJ Dillon still on the roster, and then you do have to give credit to John Runyon Jr. for what he did do as a sixth-round pick for four seasons on the team. So that's basically what you're working with. A bunch of busts in Josiah DeGuara, Kamal Martin, Jake Hansen, Simon Stepaniak, Vernon Scott, and Jonathan Garvin, players who never turned out to be anything. A sixth-round pick that turned out to be a starting offensive lineman for 3 years and then got a pretty big deal in New York. A running back that never lived up to expectations in round two. And then, oh yeah, your franchise quarterback who could go on to be one of the really great quarterbacks in the league. This is basically a one-person draft in a one-person grade. And if Jordan Love continues on the way that he has shown at the end of last season, this will go down as an A+. This will go down as an A+ draft. Because if you can find a franchise quarterback at any time, that is an A+ draft. And if he ends up being what we think he can become, it could be an A++ draft. Like that's how good it could become just on Jordan Love alone. Right now, I'm giving this an A-. I think the fact that we've only seen Jordan Love start for 1 year, you know, he has got a second half of the season that's looked great and a rest of the draft that if we're being real without Jordan Love or if he was a bust, this probably would have been an F draft if we're being honest. Like it, I don't know that I can give it a full A or A+ at this point, but Love is promising enough that that pick alone and being aggressive and going up to get him has been paying off already and is going to continue to pay off for the foreseeable future, you would think. So as of right now, I'm giving it an A-, even though Jordan Love and AJ Dillon are the only two that are currently remaining on the roster. And AJ Dillon is not guaranteed a roster spot coming out of training camp. All right, let me know what your grade is for this draft. It's a really interesting conversation. As I mentioned, there's the, should they have tried to go more aggressively for a wide receiver? Should they have gone for it more in 2020, 2021 with Rodgers? Then you don't end up with Love. You've got the Jalen Hurts aspect, the AJ Dillon, Jamal Williams. It's a really interesting set of what ifs, but I don't think Green Bay would go and change too much knowing that they got their potential future franchise quarterback for hopefully the very foreseeable future out of this draft with Jordan Love. And that's why I ultimately give it an A-. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broadad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, and Dan Miller. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.